Pastor. Let me say it's a joy to be here this morning. I enjoy this jubilee. And this makes, I think, about my 12th year of being here. And it's a highlight of my life. And on a new year, getting started and come and just get primed up and go back and try to do what we can for God in these days. And it's good to see you this morning. Take your Bible and turn with us over in Revelation chapter 3. This morning I'll try to be brief and get out of the way. And some other men are coming to preach this morning. And my, wasn't it great last night how God moved in our midst. He's the same God this morning. And so we look unto Him to help us in these hours. In Revelation chapter 3, and as we look into the Word of God this morning, let's let it speak to our hearts. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 7, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the keys of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept thy word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogues of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quick. Hold fast which I have, that no man taketh thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church." Some years ago, Brother Gary Wagner and Brother Randy Cook and myself had we band together. Brother Gary worked it some years before we started helping him, and was pulling scriptures out of Canada. A man up there would make them and frame them, and he would give them to us to bring back into the United States and to give out. We had a bus. We hauled those scriptures in, and several trips a year we'd make up into Canada. And coming back, we had a place in Kidron, Ohio, that was one of our stops, that we'd just take a break. And Mr. Cook had done some remodeling around his home, and he'd been looking for some park benches. He'd even spoke about it on the trip. And when we stopped there in Ohio, we went into a hardware store, and lo and behold, Brother Pastor there set two of those chairs like he'd been looking for. And he run inside and he said, "Sir, I want two of those park benches that you got out front." And the feller said, "Okay, give me a minute," grabbed his hand truck, and went back to the stock room. And he was gone a few minutes and came back empty. And he said, "Sir, I'm sure that we had some in the stock room. But," he said, "for some reason we've messed up on inventory and we've sold them and we've not reordered and we don't have them." He said, "Well, I'll just take them too. You got out front there." And he said, "No, they've been bolted down. Folks have sat in them. We're not allowed to sell them. That's just to get to the minds of people what we got." I was thinking on that when I read this verse of scripture. And here we are in January of 2012. And it's time all across this country, business is going to take inventory. And they're going to see what they got in the stock room. And I'd like to preach this morning for just a few moments on what do we have in the stockroom. I believe if there's ever been a time, church, that we just need to kind of sit back and just take inventory. And so I see here in verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 20, He gives us a mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks. And this is a revelation of Jesus Christ according to verse number 1. And Jesus came and said unto the angel of the church, and that's you pastors this morning, that's you missionaries. Hey, you might say, hey, I ain't nobody this morning. Jesus said, you're an angel. Amen. Listen, fellas, don't put yourself down. I want you to know you're saved, called of God. You're somebody. You say, well, preacher, I'm not much. I'm over the hills yonder, just have a little handful. I'm telling you, praise God, that's more than we'll want to give account for when we get to glory. But I'm telling you this morning, we're somebody headed somewhere today. And I want to tell you, we got something to tell the world about. We got something to rejoice in this morning, that God came our way one day and saved us by his marvelous grace, and then called us out to preach his glorious word of God. And so as I look into these churches this morning and see how Jesus came, and he dresses a pastor of the church, and he said, pastor, we've been taking inventory. And so I find here in chapter 2 at the church of Ephesus, how the Lord came, and he said unto the pastor, he said, pastor, I've looked on you, and I've saw your work. In verse 2, I know the work and thy labors and thy patience, how thy canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hath borne and hath patience for my name's sake, and hath labored and hath not fainted. Now look at it in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because I left thy first love. We look into these verses here this morning, and Jesus comes to the pastor and said, pastor, I know you. You're one of my angels. He said you've labored. He said you've labored faithfully. He said you faced problems, and you battled those problems faithfully. He said you stood for my name. But he said, in standing in your battles that you've been in and the places that you are, he said, you've lost your first love. Oh, my pastors, us check up this morning. Us inventory the stockroom this morning. Oh, it's one thing to stand. It's one thing to fight the devil. And friend, that goes along with the task today. But hey, we can't afford to lose that love. Oh, that God has given us and placed down in our soul and said, love the world. In John 3:16, God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But over in John chapter 13, Jesus was sitting at the Last Supper of those disciples, and he said to them, boys, the hour's come now. He stood and laid his coat aside. He girded himself with a towel, and he said, I've loved the world, and I've loved it to the end. And you know what he did there in that Last Supper with those disciples? He said, boys, I'm leaving the work with you. I'm going away. The comforter can't come till I get out of here. You don't understand right now. But Peter, after a while, you'll understand. You know what Jesus said to him when he got down, washed your feet, and got done? He said, this I've done, you do also. What was he saying? He said, love the world and loved it to the end. You know, that's our commission this morning, preachers, missionaries, church laymen. God is wanting us to love a world that's unlovable this morning. And so let me say, as we check up the stockroom here on this church, they'd worked, they'd stood, they'd disciplined. But hey, they let that battle at this end cause them to lose that love for God like they ought to have. Second of all, we see this morning in chapter 3 and verse number 1, the church of Sardis. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis, write these things, saith he that he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. Let that speak to our hearts as we take inventory here at the first of the year. We're going to check up, see what's in the stock room. Hey, let me say this morning, I'm going to tell you some folks, it's getting far and far down the road for old men to get up and preach with a tear in their eye and a burden on their heart. It's getting away from us today. I'm here to tell you this morning, we better stay with this book and stay with God and keep a burden on our hearts and keep a tear in our eyes and weep over souls that are lost this morning. Hey, how sad it would be. What an indictment for Jesus to come by our church and say, hey, I know you. I know your works. I know your labors. And you brag about how alive you are and what you're doing and all of that. But he said you're doing it in a dead spirit. A dead spirit. You're not alive. You're dead. Folks, we can't afford to get our eyes on things that's going on about us this morning. And look what they're trying to do and how they're trying to do it. Brother Stewart, all I got to give an account for is God and what he's called me to do. And as long as I do that and do it for God this morning, I'm glad, as he said in my text verse, thank God, there's coming a reckoning day and he'll recognize it when I get on the other side. Amen. He knows my heart today. Check up this morning. Hey, let's don't find and go to the stock room and say, boy, I've got it. It's there. And then get there and say, hey, we fell on inventory. It's gone. We don't have it. What a sad indictment. And then number three this morning, down in the church of Laodicea, chapter 3 and verse number 14. In verse number 15, I know thy works, that I neither cold or hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. How sad it is that we come to an hour now that we look at a church body and Jesus is addressing this angel, this pastor of the church. And he's saying, hey, pastor, I know you. I know the problems you got. You stood for nothing. You ain't been for anything. You ain't been against nothing. And on down, he said, you're rich and you're increased with goods. But he said, you're poor. He said, you're miserable. Oh, let me say this morning, what a sad indictment. I'm just trying to gain our minds just for a few moments here. On how we just need to stay with God, how we need to take inventory at this 2012 and see where we stand with God this morning. Hey, if we're not careful, we'll come up short in 2012. Thinking we've got it, thinking it's well in the stock room. And friend, hear him say, hey, I can't use you no more. You're neither hot, you're neither cold. And because that you're lukewarm, I'll just spew you out of my mouth. How sad that is this morning. What an indictment to be brought against us. I just use these three churches here to get us back to the church that I just read to us about as a Philadelphian church. It's a small church. The church of Laodicea was a rich church. It had, well, if you'll go back and study the history, and I'm not going to put it all in this morning, it'll take too long. But back along A.D. 62 or 64, there came a major earthquake through there and destroyed them, it looked like. But yet they had such a wealth and they had so much at their fingertips. They built their city back and their church back and seemed to have no struggle of doing it. But here in Philadelphia, it's a little poor church. They don't have a whole lot. It's not a big membership. Let me say this morning, thank God for great membership, but thank God for you men. It's on the back side of the hill over here. They just don't have the crowd to draw from as some others might have this morning. I don't mean you're any less. Amen. I don't mean this morning that you have to sit back on the sideline. Not at all this morning. I'm glad, thank God, he's as interested as in the little church as he is the big one. Pastor, he's interested in you this morning as much as he's interested in anybody. And so we come back to the church of Philadelphia. Let's look at it in verse number 7, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. Write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the keys of David, he that can open, and no man shutteth, and no man can open. Now watch it. I know thy works. Amen. Woo! He didn't condemn this church. He didn't have a charge against this church. When he looked at the church of Philadelphia, his stock room was in order. I mean, you look over there at Laodicea, it was all messed up. They just throwed it all in together. But hey, when you get over here to Philadelphia, praise God, they got the stock room in order. And Jesus says unto that pastor, hey, pastor, I know your works. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm doing all I can. Hang in there. Glory to God. Hey, stay with this blessed old book and just go with God in these days. Just do what you can for God. I mean, it's great to hear of souls being saved and missions going out and all of that. But thank God for that little preacher over yonder that's hanging in there with that crowd and they're worshiping God, singing the songs of Zion and doing the work like God wants them to do, Brother McAvey. You know what it's doing? It's keeping this old world charged up for his coming this morning. Ah, looky here this morning. He said, I know thy works. Hey, have that purpose in your heart as you're doing it for God. Sometimes we might say, well, we'll do this and maybe somebody will recognize it. And they will. But when we do it like that, somebody will recognize it. They'll speak of it. But that's all the reward we'll ever get. Amen. But when you're doing it for him this morning, whether they recognize it or not, glory to God, that's all that makes a difference. Just go with God. And so I see here at the church of Philadelphia, he said, I know thy works. And not only that, he said, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. You know what he found when he took inventory of this little old church? It still had some strength, Brother Pastor. They still stood for some things. I mean, listen, you're living days, they're battling you like never before. I mean, battles are on, trials are on. I mean, the devil's knocking at the door. Some 2 years ago at our church, Northwood there, Brother Alan Barker's my pastor. We started a Bible college there, and God's really touched it. He's blessing it, and great things are coming out of it. And we put a sign on the north side of the city, on the south side, and in the midst of the east and west side there. Hey, we went by everything that the law said we had to do. We got written permission, put it on private property. Hey, we went to the county, got permits, paid big money for them. And told them what would be on our signs. We sent them. God's blessing the college and all of that. And all of a sudden, a little state guy and the city manager said, I don't like them signs and you're going to take them down. A pastor come to me and he said, have you heard? And I said, no. And he told me the story. I pastored there 19 years. I'd had battles with that same crowd. His heart was kind of broken. And I said, Pastor, do what you have to do. We'll just trust it with God. And me and him band together and said, we'll do what we have to do, and we'll just believe God. You know what happened? We got a notice a few days later and said, you ain't tuck them signs down. And said, the state's coming by, and they're going to saw them down. We're going to send you a bill. So we wasn't taking them down. We wanted to have the right attitude about it. They gouged at us. They've laughed. They said a few things about us. But a man who owns a billboard company is up and down the east and west part of 421. Came the other week to our church and said, we heard what they've done to you. I own a billboard down there. Got lights on it 24 hours a day. He said, I get $350 a month for that sign. He said, church, God's laid it on my heart to fix y'all up a sign you ain't never had fixed before. He said, I'm going to put lights on it. If you can give me about $60 a month, he said, I'm going to furnish it for a year. Had a businessman in the church come and said, hey, I'll take care of the second year. Will you let us have it 2 years? He said, I'll let you have it from now on if you want it. Woo! I want to tell you this morning, friend, here's a little old church. His work was right. His mind for God was right. Hey, when Jesus comes by and checks the stock room, everything's in order, glory to God. I'm here to tell you this morning, hey, you might try to get in the fight, but I'm telling you, we got a greater fighter than that crowd's got out there. Hey, glory to God. And let me go ahead and tell you the rest of the story. 8 years ago, and I was pastor of that church, I claimed 12 acres of land. I went to see the lady that owned it. She was wicked. She attended a liberal Methodist church, but she had cussed her best friend out. I mean independent. And I said to her, I'd like to buy that 12 acres of land. And she looked at me and grinned, and she said, sir, you'll never own that land. And neither will your church ever own that land. She said, if I wanted to sell it today, it'd take $265,000 to get that piece of land, but you'll never own it. That night, me and God had a prayer meeting after owning that piece of land. 8 years ago, God put in my heart, it's yours. I went to church believing God on Wednesday night. I called a business meeting, and I said, church, me and God had a prayer meeting out yonder. He's laid on my heart that we need to have a business meeting put in the minutes. It's going to be our land. And I, as a pastor and the deacons, when we get the chance to buy it, we bind the deal and then let you know about it. Got 100% vote on it. It's put in the minutes 8 years ago. Well, just before Christmas, Brother Barker and the trustees of the church walked in one Sunday and said, we have the deed to that property across the land. Hey, that lady died. Her two daughters, that lived out of the city. And when they got a hold of them, hey, both of them had married Baptist men in fundamental Baptist churches. And they had come to know God. And they said, preacher, let us come back to the city and look the work over. When they came in and looked our church over and saw the college, you know what? Both of them were school teachers. And they said, you got an educational program here. Pastor said, we got a burden to treat preachers, train them for the glory of God. And tears began to run out of their eyes. Brother Barker said to them, ladies, I've looked at the plaque. I know the worth of the land. And he said, right now I'm going to give you $150,000 if you want to let us have it. And they said, pastor, said, listen, let us get our man to come and let him look over the land and give us a price, what the land's worth. And whatever he says, that'll be fair to you and it'll be fair to us. Whatever he says, that's what we're going to do. So they got their man to come, and he looked it over. And when he praised the property, he said, I think for the church, $140,000 is about all it's worth. Pastor just offered him a week before, $150,000. And he said to him, I promised you $150,000. They said, no, pastor, we agreed the other day with you, whatever this man said, that's exactly what we'll take for it. And we bought that land for $140,000. But 8 years ago, I put $193,000 back in the bank to buy that piece of property. Hey, we got some money left over, brother. I'm here to tell you this morning, hey, God knows our works this morning. He knows our hearts. Hey, friend, don't get ahead of him. Just stay with him and go with God this morning. Hey, just keep a check on the inventory. See what we got in stock. Hey, we got a God that's big enough, hey, to furnish you this morning. Whatever you need, thank God. I'm glad he's still on the throne this morning. So here's a little church. Some of them said it ain't much. It don't have the big crowd, but I'm glad, thank God, they had God this morning. And so he said here, behold, I will make them out of the synagogues of Satan, which said they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. I want to tell you this morning, it's one thing for me and you to love God. But Jesus said, hey, I want this world out here and these that's lied on you and these that's tried to get in and they're not right with God. He said, I want to make them know I've loved you. Woo! Hey, Brother Stewart, that's what makes a difference over to house of God. Hey, we have some bumps along the ways. We have some obstacles that jumps up. But, hey, just face it with God and say, God, it's yours. And you know better how to handle it than I do. And just turn it over to him. And just get along in the stock room. Keep things right there. Keep the inventory right there. Hey, God will smile on you this morning. So as we see here, and he said to him, verse number 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. Now watch it. And hast kept my word, has not denied my name. This is what it's all about this morning, preachers. It's not about me. Thank God it's about him this morning. Oh, the one who's loved me going to Calvary, laid his life down on the third day, rose again. Hey, one day pulled him down a cloud and said, glory please. And went back and has been seated at the right hand of the Father for 2,000 years, making intercession for you and I. Hey, this morning, claiming our soul for God. Hey, I'm going to tell you this morning, stay in this old book. Hey, walk with God today. I mean, let them know you're not ashamed of what Jesus has to say in his word. You just say, hey, I ain't the one that said it. Jesus said it, and he just called me to preach it. Amen. You say, preacher, they're getting after me. Well, let them get after you. Just stay with the word. Been in this thing now for 45 years. If I had it to go over with, I'd do the same thing this morning I did 45 years ago. Brother Phipps, when I came out of the old chicken house that Sunday evening, I was pulling cobwebs out of my hair and I was wiping chicken dust off of my clothes. I knew God had called me to preach. 3 years ago, this past November, I taken my dad out to the silence of the cemetery. Dad called me one day and said, son, I want you to come by. And I went by. And he said, I want you to get in the car with me. I want to take you up to Old Cool Springs Church. And I said, what for? And he said, I want to show you something. I got up there and he said, me and your mother came out here the first of the week and said, we just got us a little resurrectional ground. I carried Dad back 3 years ago and I buried him right at that little resurrectional ground he'd bought. I said to him just right before he shoved off to glory, I said, Dad, if you had it to go over with, preach for 61 years. I said, Dad, what would you do different? He looked at me and he had a smile on his face. He said, son, if I had it to go over with, I'd just try to study that old word just a little more. And I'd try to love my people just a little more. I thought, what wisdom. Just get more of the word. Fall more in love with your people. You say, I can't love them this morning. I can't get too close to them, past them like I want to. Well, Jesus got close to us. I'm glad Jesus loved us this morning. Oh, I'm here to tell you, this little church of Philadelphia, hey, their work was right, their purpose was right, because they was in the Word of God. They hadn't denied His name. And He said, I've opened a door that no man can shut. I'll shut a door that no man can open. He found favor with that pastor in that church, and he admonished them because that they had not been influenced. Hey, we're about 20-some miles down the valley. Hey, all that lot of sin church. And if you go back to the church of Colossae, yeah, Paul spoke of that church in Colossae chapter 2. Hey, because that they didn't let that church influence them and their liberalism and their no stand for God and not standing for the Word of God and just taking it any way that it come free. And I want you to know, hey, Paul admonished that church and said, thank God you stood for the Word. I want you to know this morning, it just pays to stand for the Word of God. As I come to a close this morning, our pastor and our youth worker, we had a fella lived south of our city. I never got acquainted with him, but my pastor knew him from a previous pastor he did many years ago in that community. He said he was a wicked man. He said he had no respect for preachers. But he said, I'm going to go see him. And I told him I'd be a praying for him. And so our youth worker there and Brother Barker drove down to his house just about 2 months ago or less. Pulled up in the driveway, went to the front porch. Mr. Melton come to the door and he said, sir, I know you. And he said, that same driveway brought you in here. We'll take you out and the best thing you can do is get out now. They turned around, got in the van, and drove out. And a few weeks later, the old man got sick. Now, this is a fraction less than 2 months. And so last week, they carried the old man to Surrey County to a medical home because you had to have medical attention around the clock. And so they contacted Don Collins over in Pilot Mountain, who lives in that county. And asked Brother Don if he'd go by and speak to that man. He didn't know Don. Don didn't know him. And Don went in, sat down, spoke to the man, and sat there just a little while with him, said a very few words, and got up and left. He said the old man wouldn't look at him. He wouldn't speak to him. But then a few days later, Brother Don was back by there, and God touched his heart and said, go back one more time. He went back and spoke to the old man, told him who he was, and he kept shaking him and talking to him and just made him listen to what he had to say and told him how to be saved. He wouldn't trust Christ. He didn't want Don messing with him. And the other night, Don was coming in from a service and was passing that home again, and God said, stop again. 10 o'clock in the night. They don't like preachers coming to them medical homes at 10 o'clock of the night. Don went in, walked to that old man's room. He said, Mr. Melton, I've told you how to be saved. And he said, I thought it was over with when I left here the other day. But he said, God's burdened my heart to come back and one more time give you a chance to be saved. And he said, would you like to hear the plan of salvation again? And he said, sir, tell me again like you told me the other night. And Don told that old man how to be saved. And at 10 o'clock in the night there with his head on the pillow, he turned his face toward Don and he said, I'll do the best I can, but I want him to save me. And called on God to save him. And Don said, there come a smile over his face when he asked God to save him. And he said, preacher, it's done. It's done. Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, he shoved off for glory. And this evening they're going to be burying him there in our county. God kept a door open. You know what? As much as He wants to save souls today, He wants our doors of our church to stay open. He's wanting us to cry out the glorious gospel. He's wanting us to tell others how to be saved. Hey, missionaries, he's wanting you to go back to the field 2012. Hey, with your lamp lit and your fires are burning and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to tell somebody how to be saved. Oh, listen, we come this morning, the first of the year, and just wanted to kind of get your attention. Let's get back to the stock room and see how, hey, while we got in the stock room this morning, that God might find favors with us. Bless your heart, Brother Stewart.